madly in sin, I ran my course. Despising all that's good, my sinful heart swollen with pride, all enmity to God. My guilty conscience pricked my heart, and slight impression made. The law of God with threats of hell filled me with fear and dread. Still, I pursued my lust with zeal. Satan and sin are strong. With hardened heart and stubborn will, to hell I plodded on. When first I heard the gospel call, bidding me come to Christ, I yet despised the Son of God. I would not bow to Christ. But God the Spirit came with grace. Grace I could not resist. He gave me life. He gave me faith. He made me bow to Christ. Blessed is the man chosen of God and forced by sovereign grace to come to Christ with willing heart and humbly seek His grace. I've come here today praying that God the Holy Ghost will graciously force you to come to Christ. That He will break you, bend you, bow you, and force you to come to Christ. If He doesn't, you won't. As God the Holy Ghost enables me, I want to talk to you about irresistible grace. God's almighty, effectual, irresistible grace. Grace that will not take no for an answer. Grace you cannot resist, try as you may. Irresistible grace. I'm not here to preach about grace that helplessly offers salvation and leaves sinners lost. I'm not here to tell you about grace that depends on something from you. I'm here to tell you about God's grace, irresistible grace. Grace that saves poor, helpless, doomed, damned, dead sinners who must forever be lost, except God come by irresistible grace and bring you to His darling Son. Are you interested? Is that the grace you need? If so, I've got a message from God for you. There is, according to the revelation of this book, a call that goes forth by the preaching of the gospel, a general call. I'm here today calling you to Christ. But if my voice is the only voice you hear, it'll do you no good. This general call is that which God sends His servants to proclaim. He sends us to the highways and hedges to bid all who will come to Christ. He commands all men everywhere to repent. That being said, because God commands you to repent, it is your duty and your responsibility to repent. I didn't say it was your ability. It is your responsibility. A preacher, a man can't be responsible for that which he has no ability to perform. You're responsible to God to be perfectly holy. You can't do it. You're responsible to God to obey His law. You can't do it. And you're responsible to God to believe His Son. But you can't do it. It's your duty to trust Christ. Your responsibility to believe on the Son of God. And if you trust Him, you have everlasting life. But if you refuse, if you refuse, preacher, I won't hear that. And you get up and walk out those doors and walk to hell, you have no one to blame but yourself. It's your responsibility. You're without excuse. Your damnation is just. And preacher, I've never heard God call me. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. God has put something in you we call conscience. It has the voice of God in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, that you cannot silence, scream and try as you may. So that God constantly speaks by conscience. Guilt, 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 guilt. Sin, 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 sin. Eternity, eternity, eternity. Damned, damned, damned. And you can't silence it. It terrifies you. God speaks by creation. You look around and see the handiwork of God in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. God's your creator and you know it. And you can't stop the sound of God speaking from the heavens. And God speaks by his providence. God speaks by his providence. A small child is taken. God says you're going to die too. Your younger brother, your older sister, taken suddenly. Death is around the corner. There is but a breath between you and God, between you and death. God speaks by his providence in the tornado, in the flood, in the hurricane, in the wind, in the lightning, in the storm, in the war, in the pestilence, in the sickness, in the disease. And you keep stopping yours. I won't hear. I won't hear. I won't hear. But God continues to speak. And then you have the privilege of being where you are this morning and hearing a man preach the gospel of God's free grace in his darling son. And by the gospel, God shows you the way of life and faith in Christ. God shows you how he can be just and justify the ungodly by the sacrifice of his own son, by blood atonement, by perfect righteousness. God speaks by his word, commands you to believe, and you refuse. Therefore, this is what God says. Therefore, because you have refused, therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and shall be filled with their own devices. God says when you go to hell, you're going to eat what you've been feeding on all your life. When you go to hell, you're going to have your own devices to fill you. When you go to hell, you will eat the fruit of your own way. If you go to hell, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. You've heard the gospel and you've refused. What a statement. What a statement. You wonder why I tremble when I preach. You hear the gospel this day and you walk out of here in unbelief and God takes you to hell. You're going to hear my voice for eternity. Without excuse. Without excuse. We preach the gospel to all men everywhere. We call sinners to Christ and promise with divine authority as God's ambassadors eternal life, we promise, to all who come to Christ. And yet, as he preaches the gospel, God's servant knows. All of God's servants know. All of them. These yahoos on every street corner who claim to be preachers are ambassadors of hell. They're not God's servants. God's servants know as he preaches that no one will, by his own free will, by his own choice, by his own volition, no one will ever come to Christ because nobody can. A dead man can do nothing. And you who are without Christ are dead, D-E-A-D, dead spiritually. You have no life, no ability, no feeling, no knowledge, no understanding of anything spiritual. And yet, as he preaches the gospel, knowing these things, the gospel preacher proclaims eternal life freely given to sinners by Christ Jesus. And if you hear the word I preach and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what the reason is. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It will not be because I preach better than another man, or because I have better understanding than another man, or because I study harder than another man, or because I have greater logic than another man. It's the Spirit who takes the word, and with the word quickens the dead. And he does this that no flesh should profit. There is this general call, but there's another call. An almighty call of grace. A call that no man can resist. A call that brings life and works faith in the sinner by the Holy Spirit. This call is that which is spoken of when Peter says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That is, by the preaching of this book. For this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith in Christ is the fruit and result and operation of omnipotent mercy, irresistible grace, and the effectual call of God the Holy Ghost. Now that's my subject this morning, irresistible grace. My text is Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. This is what the Lord God says to every chosen, redeemed sinner. This is what God says concerning everyone he's determined to save. This is what God says concerning everyone he will save in time. If you are among those I had just described, chosen of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, called by God, this is what God says. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, let me give you the context. Because Judah had refused to believe. Because Judah had rebelled against God. God visited that nation with judgment. But there was in Judah an elect remnant who must be saved. And God speaks to them. Says he will call them by his grace because he's determined to be gracious to them. Even so, at this present time, the Spirit of God tells us there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is an elect multitude in this world whom God will call. They will weep no more. He will be very gracious to them. At the voice of their cry, when he hears it, he will answer them. They are chosen of God in everlasting love, redeemed by the precious blood of God's darling Son. God chose you to salvation. God chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. God chose you to salvation through the call of the gospel. God chose you to salvation through the bloodletting of his own darling Son. There's no other way to salvation. But God must bring you to his Son. And God says he will be gracious to you and save you if you're his. Though God gives his elect the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, as we're told in verse 20, though he gives his elect the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it is that he may be gracious to them. God in his providence fixes it. He fixes it so that you must have him. He fixes it so that you've got nowhere else to turn. He fixes it so that you reel to and fro as a drunken man. You're starving to death. You're in prison with no one to help. And when you're at your wit's end, then you call on him. And I'm going to tell you this. You'll never call on him until you're brought to your wit's end. You will never trust the Lord Jesus Christ until God knocks every prop out from under you. You will never seek refuge in Christ until God destroys every false refuge you build for yourself. The Lord God providentially causes his elect to hear the word of his grace at his appointed time of love. He sweetly forces you to hear. Fixes it so you just can't avoid it. He fixes it so you just can't avoid it. He somehow creates an interest. Somehow brings you to a place, maybe here, maybe here. I remember I was attending a church, had no interest in what was going on, but I attended church because I wanted to date a girl there. And one morning I went and sat in the pew, and all of a sudden, the preacher got my attention. And I heard God speak. And I believed on his son because God brought me to that place at the time when God had prepared me to hear his word and brought me to my wit's end and revealed Christ in me. That's how God saves sinners. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. This is one of those gracious, unconditional promises upon which the salvation of God's elect depends. When God calls, sinners hear. If ever God calls you, you'll hear his voice. If ever God speaks to you, you can't resist his call. If ever God says, this is the way, walk ye in it, you will walk in the way, Christ Jesus the Lord. Otherwise, there's no hope for you. Well, preacher, if that's the case, all I've been hearing all my life is not so. I've been told all my life is up to me. God's done everything he could. Now it's up to me. You've been hearing a lie all your life. This is what God says. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, Brother Don, you didn't mean to say that all these will worship Arminian free will preachers are liars. You meant to say, well, they're just confused or had less light, or they haven't studied enough, or they haven't come yet to know the gospel. No, they're liars. They're ambassadors of the devil. If you read this book, if you just read this book, the book of God says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Sooner or later, either now or on the other side of judgment, you're going to find out salvation is of the Lord. Now let me show you four things revealed in this text. Number one, the position of the sinner. Our text describes the position of the sinner to whom God is pleased to be gracious. Where does God find those to whom he's gracious? What position are they in when he calls them? Does he find them seeking the Lord? Does he find them making their first step toward God? Does he find them making a decision for the Lord? Does he find them searching for him? Listen to what the scriptures say. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. Our text declares then that when God calls sinners, he always finds them with their backs turned to him. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the way of man. This is how God always finds his people. This is how God always finds his elect, with their backs turned to him. They may be going to church 3 times a week. They may be praying 3 times a day. They may be reading their Bibles every morning and every night, but their backs are turned to God. They're not interested in Christ. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in God's salvation. They're interested in themselves and religion and what they can do and what they can learn. But when God comes calling, he finds folks with their backs turned to him. The word of grace is heard behind thee. We've all by nature gone astray from God. We've turned everyone to his own way. And our way is always away from God. This is what God says, Jeremiah 32:33. They have turned unto me the back and not the face. They've turned unto me the back and not the face. We turned our backs on God in the sin and fall of our father Adam. We turned our backs on God, every one of us who went astray from the womb, speaking lies. And we turned our backs on God with every breath of our lives, all the days of our lives. But God would not turn his back on us. That's the reason you hear. That's the reason you believe. There is no other reason. God refused to turn his back on you. What matchless grace. What stupendous mercy. God calls after sinners, though they openly renounce his rule, flee from his mercy, spurn his grace, and despise his son. Instead of leaving us to ourselves, he would not let us go. One of the men asked back in the office one day last week, Sunday night or Tuesday night, I forgot which. So can you imagine what we'd do if we'd been God? Don't have to imagine long. Don't have to imagine long. I'd kick you out. I'd throw you away. I wouldn't have patience with you. Well, no, that's not true. That's the way I'd act if I was God. That's not the way God acts. That's not what God does. God refused to turn his back on us. Those, God says, he will call, turned their backs and went further and further and further away with every breath of unbelief. It was while we were going as fast as we could away from God, away from Christ, away from life, rushing headlong into hell with our hearts burning against God and our fists clenched against him. There the Lord found us and arrested us and turned us. I had a will to roam, but God had a will to save. I'd made a covenant with death, but God made a covenant with his son. I was in league with hell, but God was in league with my substitute. And when the Lord saved us, when he caused us to hear his call, we were pursuing a course of rebellion in spite of every warning we'd heard. God graciously spoke often, but we refused to hear. We ran toward hell with such zealous commitment to destruction. One would think we looked upon hell as a prize to be gained. You who are sitting here today, and many who will hear this message by various means of media God has put at our disposal. You've heard God speak by His Word countless times. You've had faithful parents to teach you the way. You've had faithful Sunday school teachers to teach you the Word. You've had faithful siblings, brothers, sisters, young brother, older brother, younger sister, older sister. You've had friends. You've had faithful pastors point you to Christ Jesus the Lord, and you refuse to hear. You turn your own way. Some take the right-handed way of self-righteousness. Others take the left-handed way to hell of prolificacy and ungodliness. The way to life is the other way. The way to life is about face from what you've been. You've been walking toward hell, seeking religion and seeking to do good, and seeking the lust of your flesh and seeking your pleasure, delighting in yourself. The way to life is to turn your back on everything else and turn to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else." Here's the second thing. God finds sinners with their backs to Him. Second, God's call is a call of almighty, irresistible grace. Now understand what I'm telling you. God always takes the initiative in salvation. That is, God is the first actor. But that's not all. Salvation is God's work alone in its entirety. God takes the initiative and God performs the work. You don't get credit for anything because you don't do anything. No aspect of salvation is dependent upon, are determined by, are in any way accomplished by something you do. Salvation is of the Lord. We know this book teaches the blessed doctrine of election. Election. That's God's choice of sinners to salvation. Now people talk about election. Well, they don't talk about it much. They're scared to death to mention the word in most churches. But when they do talk about it, they make election somehow to be God looking out with a long telescope of His great omniscience, and He sees how good you're going to be. He sees that unlike other people, you're going to decide for Jesus. Unlike other people, you're going to make your choice. Unlike other people, you're going to turn to the Lord. What stupidity. What does a sinner have to do with election? Listen to what God says. Ye have not chosen me. Ye have not chosen me. You didn't, you wouldn't, you couldn't. But I have chosen you. Folks talk about redemption. If they get around to mentioning the death of Christ at all, most places don't much. But if they do, Jesus died for you and He made it possible for you to be justified and made it possible for you to be sanctified, made it possible for your sins to be forgiven. He opened the way so that you could be saved. If you do something, if you contribute something, if you just make a choice, if you just decide, if you just walk down the aisle, if you just say the prayer, if, what does a sinner have to do with redemption? This is what the book says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. With His own blood, He entered in one time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What does a sinner have to do with regeneration, the new birth? Now, even Arminians have a tough time with this. Even we'll worship has a tough time with this. They will tell you that you're dead in trespasses and in sins, but you've got to make the first move. That'd be a fancy trick. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a dead man lift his finger, raise his hand, walk down an aisle, make a decision, make a choice, decide something, reason something out. Dead folks don't do anything. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That means by grace are you saved. What does a sinner have to do with the call of the Spirit? Nothing. Nothing. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The call of grace, the call of the Spirit, comes to lost, wandering, straying sinners, and it comes unsought, unasked, and undesired. In Romans 10, verse 20, the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah 65 and verse 1, and he makes a statement I find strange. Isaiah 65, verse 1, Isaiah is speaking of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Romans 10, verse 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking about faith in Christ. Now listen to what it says. But Isaiah, is very bold and saith. Very bold. Very confident. Very brave. Very strong. Very open. He's very bold. Why do you use that word bold? Because most everybody will cuss him and trample on him till he's dead for saying it. Religious folks hate him. They'll persecute him. They'll put him to death if they can for saying it. He's very bold because religious folks won't have it. He's very bold. What did he say? He's quoting the words of the Lord Jesus, God our Savior. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who is it that finds the Lord, folks who aren't seeking him? Who is it to whom God makes himself manifest, folks who aren't asking for him? But the scripture says, seek ye the Lord, and he will be found. The scripture says, call on him and he'll answer you. Yes, but he'll find you before you seek him. He'll seek you out before you seek him. If you seek him, it's because he's already sought and found you. You will hear his voice before ever he hears your voice. And when he hears your voice, it's because you have already heard his voice. This is the language of Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Very personal thing. This too is language of Scripture. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God, H-A-T-H, hath. He's got it. It's already his. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God, hath everlasting life. He has it in possession. You could not believe him if he hadn't given you life. God speaks his word and says, return. This is the way, walk ye in it. You may pause for a moment, but you're not interested. You push onward to hell. God speaks again, this is the way, and you're startled. Your conscience is pricked. Maybe you can't sleep very well that night. So you resolutely set yourself against God, determined to go to hell anyway. Unless God stops you, you will. But some of you, like Jonah, trying hard to go down to Tarshish where you can get away from the voice of God. I'm not going to listen to that preaching anymore. I'm moving. I'm getting out of here. As soon as you get grown, Daddy, I'm going to move here. Mama, I'm going to move down there. I'm not listening to him anymore. and you'll gladly pay the fare if you can get away from God's voice. But some of you just can't get away from it. Because God won't let you. Grace will force you into the way. Grace will teach you to pray. Grace will teach you to know and rejoice to confess. Salvation is of the Lord. This word behind thee is the voice of the unseen and unknown God you despised all your life. It comes to you with mysterious power. It comes at all hours, day and night. You're driving down the road, you're out hunting or fishing, you're plowing your field, you're laying in bed at night trying to sleep. It comes all hours. It's a still, small voice. Voice that comes after the earthquake and the fire. The voice of God in your heart and in your conscience that you just can't silence. You just can't silence it because it's God's call. This is a call that pursues and overtakes the chosen blood-bought sinner. It comes at the opportune time when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, just as you're about to turn down Dead Man's Lane, just as about to fall into the dungeon of no return, God overtakes his chosen. His call is absolutely necessary. Without it, none would be saved. None could believe. None would come to Christ. No wonder the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." Three times in the 80th Psalm, the psalmist said, "Turn us, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." And then he said, "Turn us, O God of hosts, God who rules everything and everybody, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." And he closed the psalm with these words, "Turn us again, O Lord Jehovah, God alone, God in control of everything and everybody, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Here's the third thing. The word of the call. The word by which God brings salvation to his elect is the preached word of the gospel. The preached word of the gospel. God saves sinners by the foolishness of preaching. Not just any preaching, but the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why is that? Because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, we believe God's sovereign. He can save sinners with the use of means, without the use of means, or in spite of the means used. Well, he saves sinners with the use of means, and he saves sinners in spite of the means used, meaning the preacher. But he never saves sinners without the use of means, because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. You got to bow to it. This is what God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, I know folks... Well, so what if a fellow lives where the gospel's not preached? Do you really think that's a problem to God? Do you really think it's a problem to God? What if there's no preacher around? God can take an evangelist named Philip and suddenly set him in the road coming down from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, right beside an Ethiopian eunuch, at exactly the time he's pleased to do it. And he always does. He always does. I dare say that most of you here could point to extraordinary, almost unbelievable facets of life, events in life that brought you here to hear the gospel. Things that nobody would believe it if you sat down and wrote it in a diary. No, he's stretching it. Oh no, God moves the world. God raises up and tears down nations. God preserves races and destroys peoples just for the saving of his elect. He does all things for his own. You understand that, Bill? Oh, the wondrous mystery of providence. God just works everything out just right. So that at just the right time, he causes you to hear. I think of Jim and Susan. You can nod yes or no if I'm correct or wrong. I think you went to about every Baptist church in the county. When that road here, when that in a Baptist church, they're lighting candles. Might have well been going to kneel at a papist altar, lighting candles, burning candles, so God will hear your prayers. And then came here. And I think came two or three times I wasn't here. And how come? Because I was looking for a place to get close to Louisville, Kentucky, back to where she's from, and out of Colorado where they didn't want to live any longer. Well, why'd they come here? Because God brought them here. That's all. Matter of fact, I think, Jim told me, you're the hardest place there was to find. I can believe that. But here they are. How come? This is God's way. This is God's way. The way of life in which we walk is Christ the way. The only way. The way of blood atonement. The way of perfect righteousness. The way of free salvation. The way of free grace. This is the word of his grace. And the word that comes to us. This word of grace spoken by God is always successful. That's the fourth thing. The success of the word. Thine ears shall hear. Thine ears shall hear. I can't do it. I can't make you see your sin. But when God speaks, your ears will hear and you will know your sin. I can't reveal God's Son in you. But when God speaks, he'll reveal his Son in you. I can't make you understand the way of righteousness, Christ Jesus the Lord. But if God speaks, you'll walk in that way. I can't cause you to come to Christ in faith. But if God speaks, you'll come. And God will be gracious to you. Oh, may God then be gracious to you for Christ's sake. There are some sinners who cannot to Jesus answer no. When called by grace, they willingly to Christ the Savior go. Chosen by God in covenant love, in time they must be saved. Predestined to eternal life they'll have. For God's elect, Christ Jesus, bled and died upon the tree. Those sinners justified by blood, by grace, must be set free. When God the Spirit comes in grace, grace they cannot resist. The chosen, ransomed, called ones come with joy to Jesus Christ. Bless God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit too. The triune God has done for us what we could never do. When we would not and we could not awake and come to him, our God in sovereign grace caused us to come to him. That's called irresistible grace. My God.
I wait on you.
Make your word effectual by your sovereign, omnipotent, irresistible grace to chosen sinners for the glory of Christ. Amen.